Welcome to Dare to Raise Daniels, a podcast sponsored by the First Colony Church of Christ. Please note that all views expressed may or may not reflect that of our church, but we are honored to have you present and know we are here to honor Jesus. Now let's welcome today's guest. Well, welcome, Dr. Jeff Myers. It is so good to have you here today. Thank you for being willing to connect with us.
Joel, I'm really excited about our conversation. I love what you guys are doing there and looking forward to, now, when we're recording this, we're looking forward to Super Bowl Sunday.
Yes, sir.
And my being able to come to teach at First Colony. So I'm excited about that. But thank you for everything you do to invest in kids. You know, one of our sayings here at Summit is, they're only 15% of the population, but they're 100% of the future.
Well, I like that. That's a cool saying. I'm going to keep that. Thank you.
You got it. Free of charge.
Well, I appreciate that. So basically, just recapping, I know that you went to Summit before going to college. And one of the big things that stood out to you is that you had questions and there was a time in your life where nobody really could give you answers. And so you pursued answers and you've come full circle and now you lead Summit. Can you just give us a kind of a really quick nutshell into your story?
Yes. Well, to give a little bit of background, I have the privilege of leading a ministry called Summit Ministries. It's based in a little hippie town in Colorado called Manitou Springs, right at the foot of Pikes Peak, Manitou Incline, which you've enjoyed. And this ministry equips and supports the rising generation to embrace God's truth and to champion a biblical worldview. I did not always, in fact, if you had known me when I was a teenager, you would scratch your head thinking, how on earth did this guy ever get to be in charge of a ministry like this that is training young adults in worldview and apologetics and sending them out to be leaders in the world? Because I was a kid with a lot of questions, as you mentioned. I was born and raised in Detroit, Michigan. When I was about 10, my parents moved to a small town in Kansas. We attended a very small church. And the more I got involved with high school debate, which was my thing, the more questions I had about life and philosophy and economics and politics and geopolitics and all of these kinds of things. Well, that was not the path to faith for most people in my little church. They were good people. They loved us. They had good hearts. But when I asked, well, hey, what do Christians think about the philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche? They're like, yeah, Fred who? I don't know. Did he live here? They just didn't have a context for thinking biblically about everything outside of the church. So I had pretty much decided that when I graduated from high school, I was also going to graduate from church, which is an issue that you face in the ministry that you do. Some churches do a better job than others. Some, it just depends on what kind of a community they're in. Some, it depends on where kids typically go off to college. But some churches have said they have 70% of their young adults who were significantly involved in church in their high school years who are no longer even attending church by the time they reach their mid-20s. Somehow they've lost the plot.
Right.
And this is not just a question about their eternal souls. This is also a question about what it means to be a blessing to the nations of the earth. If we don't embrace biblical truth, then we can't bring flourishing and truth and blessing from a biblical perspective to the world. And that is a huge loss as well. But I attended the Summit Ministries program. We have these sort of iconic 11-day experiences where we put young adults in touch with, in community with these top Christian thought leaders who are experts in everything from philosophy to economics to apologetics, can help them find answers to all of their tough questions and develop a strong biblical faith. David Noble founded the program. I came out here. I said to him, my very first sentence to him was, I hope you have a lot of answers because I have a lot of questions. And he did not take offense at that. In fact, what he said to me probably changed the course of my life.
Wow.
He said, look, at Summit, we aren't afraid of questions.
Cool.
Then I knew I'd found my tribe. I didn't expect to find somebody who would give me all of the answers. I did not want to be spoon-fed. I wanted to think. Sure. I'd been trained to do that through high school debate. But knowing that there were other Christians who were thinking hard about these issues and whose answers to them were very good, maybe not perfect, but very good, gave me a sort of a runway to take off for life.
Very cool. So going right along that vein, you've obviously encountered youth. You've had your own experience. We want to encourage parents to raise kids to shine in this culture and be able to answer questions and not be afraid of questions. So as a parent looks forward to that day when they send their son or daughter off to school or the next step in their life, what are some key elements that you say, hey, let's reverse engineer this? How do we get these cores in place before you get to that spot?
Yeah. Well, there are five things that we had corresponded about that we can talk about. I don't have a really nifty, easy way to remember all five of these things, but I think they really fit in the name of your podcast, the Dare to Be a Daniel podcast. Remember, Daniel was taken captive. We're told in the book of Colossians, be careful that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, based on human tradition, based on the principles of the world rather than Christ. And why? Because the entire nature of God dwells bodily in Christ, and we are filled up in Him who is head over every ruler and authority. So we just have to keep in mind what Daniel kept in mind. Even when you are in captivity, even when you are in a foreign place and being taught foreign ideas, Jesus is the head over all of those rulers. He is the head over all of those authorities, and your faith applies to everything. So how do we help raise those Daniels? And we can just kind of talk through these five. I wrote them on my little piece of paper right here so that I could remember them all. But they just emerge. They just emerge from the story of Daniel. So the first one is no one else can live your faith for you. No one else can live your faith for you. This is one of the key messages I want to get across to young adults when they head off to a college or university. Even if they're going to a place that's somewhat conservative, and I'm a Baylor grad, there are schools, a lot of schools like Baylor, but you need to be prepared for hearing ideas from false worldviews. Yes. And grappling with those. And no one else can do this for you. You have to step up. You have to be able to do it. That means you have to learn to absorb content that is maybe tougher than what you were given. You have to sort of think about your faith in a rigorous way, in the same way that you thought about chemistry in a rigorous way when you did AP chemistry. You have to learn to read. I tell my students, if you want to be a leader, you have to be a reader. You have to find good sources, learn to evaluate them, learn to think critically. It always works best if you start by writing down your big questions.
Okay.
How could there be a good God when there's pain in the world? What about people who have never heard? If someone dies without having said a prayer to invite Jesus into their hearts, do they go to hell and or experience torture forever? Those kinds of questions that everybody has, but also questions like, what about politics? You know, how does my faith fit in with, you know, this conservative versus liberal kind of, you know, all of these debates that are going on. So write down all of those questions.
Okay.
And then just start looking at them one by one. Where would I go to get good information? I probably know people. Pastor Joel probably has heard of a book on this, or he has one in his office. Maybe we can sit down and talk this through. Maybe there are other people as well. But you've got to take personal responsibility for it.
Okay.
Having a pastor whose faith is strong will not help you when you're on campus. Having parents whose faith was strong, that's not enough. You've got to own it. No one else can live it for you. So that's the first principle that I always want students to know when they go off to college.
All right. So live your faith. And when you come up on a question, write it down. One time I heard a professor say that questions are like pinpricks in a black veil. and it pokes light through. And the more questions you ask, the more light comes through, even though you can't see what's on the other side. And eventually you can see what's on the other side. So I really appreciate that. Okay. So that's number one.
Yeah. What else? That's a good perspective. Well, and let me emphasize, I did say write down the questions.
Yes.
That's really significant. That's really significant that you write them down, because questions that are just swirling around in your head tie into other questions that are just swirling around in your head. And all of a sudden you've got this mind full of doubt. Well, that's fine. Everybody doubts.
Sure.
But doubt your doubts as much as you doubt the things that you're doubting.
I like that. Because yes.
Doubts don't necessarily give you truth just because they exist. So write those questions down.
Okay.
So that's the first thing. The second thing is community is vital. At Summit Ministries, we have this word picture that we draw for everybody who's on our staff. The DNA of influence. Picture a DNA double helix. There are two strands, truth and relationship. And those two strands intertwine with one another. Your goal is to connect truth and relationship for yourself and for other people all of the time. So community is vital. This means community with your peers when you're at college, either a Christian campus group. I had a hard time with Christian campus groups when I was in college. I didn't relate to any of them.
Okay.
The kinds of things I was working on or interested in my academic pursuits, it just seemed like we were missing.
Sure.
When I got to Baylor, I actually had a small group of guys, and we met together for Bible study. We got together to watch football. We got together to play basketball. It was sort of our friend group, but also our accountability group.
How did you find them? I realize it's organic in every situation, but I mean, people will say, yeah, I want that, but how do you get it?
Yeah, I don't know how everybody else finds it. I found it through a girlfriend, and my girlfriend was friends with this other guy's girlfriend. And then we got to meet each other and started the group. Then both of those girls broke up with us, and we just kept on going.
That's great.
With our group. So I don't know. God works in all kinds of interesting ways. I think you just start talking to people. Hey, would you be interested in getting a cup of coffee and talking about your experiences? That kind of thing is a big part of it, but isn't just with your peers. Now, so the body of Christ is like a family reunion. It's not like a class that you take. If you went to a family reunion and everybody in your family was also 17,
yes,
you have a weird family.
You do.
You need to have little babies there and old people. One of our sayings at Summit Ministries is, you need old people and they need you. So find those people in the church who are, they've done something. They've lived a faithful life. They've raised kids who love Jesus. They have a business and they've worked through all of the difficulties of having a business and they're still strong in their faith. All those kinds of people, just be drawn to them like a magnet. Can I take you out to coffee and ask you questions? That's your posture.
Okay.
So that's how you really, I think, get the most out of community. And it doesn't have to be about whether you love the worship or whatever.
Sure.
When I was a professor, I had a student who came to me and said, man, my girlfriend just, she really kind of knocked some sense into me the other day. He said, we went to church and we got out and she asked, what did you think of the worship? And he said, oh, I didn't really like it. And she said, well, good thing we weren't worshiping you.
Nice.
But he was just laughing about it when he told me, but it's so true. You don't have to pick a community based on whether it serves you. You're trying to grow, and in the process other people are going to grow as well. So that's it. So the first one is just, you got to own your faith.
Yep.
Nobody can live it for you. The second thing is community is vital. The third one is where we really specialize in what we're doing at Summit Ministries. And any parent who's watching or listening to this right now, and you've got young adults 16 to 22, please consider prayerfully and seriously arranging for them to attend one of these 11-day summit conferences. you will be amazed at the strength it gives to their worldview. 95% of students leave this program and say they believe a biblical worldview, and 85% of them stay strong. We study them 10 years out from their experience.
Wow.
So
what an investment, by the way, just seriously.
Yes. If you knew that a program like that existed and could have that sort of a positive impact on your son or daughter, wouldn't you move heaven and earth to make that experience possible for them?
Yeah.
So, but here is the point, the way I'd like to phrase it. A biblical worldview applies to everything. A biblical worldview isn't just a view of the Bible. It is a view from the perspective of the Bible of everything else. And I can prove this very simply. We just know that ideas flow in patterns and ideas have consequences. What you believe about God will determine what you believe about the nature of reality itself. What you believe about reality will determine what you believe about what's right or wrong. What you believe about what's right or wrong will determine the value of life and ultimately how to make a good society and a good economic structure and a good political system and a good legal system. All starting with that first question. Is there a God, and is God as described in the Bible? That affects everything else. The people who changed the course of the world did believe that. They believed that truth exists. And it wasn't just a set of logical propositions. It's a person. It's Jesus. And people who believe that Jesus is the truth are the ones who gave us science and the value of human life and medical care and all of these other things that we take for granted that have really brought flourishing to life. So you got to study it out. If you're in a sociology class, you want to ask, what's the worldview of sociology that's being presented to me? Is there a biblical view of sociology, and how would I find it? You could use my text if that's helpful. It's called Understanding the Times. It's extensive. Most people don't read it straight through, but they use it as a reference tool.
Okay.
So they're in sociology class. They go to the sociology chapter. What would a biblical view of sociology be? What am I going to typically be presented as the core principle of sociology? And how do I respond to that as a Christian? That wrestling is good for you, but it applies to everything. So your faith is not just something you do on Sundays or in your weekly Bible study.
When you said my text, are you referring to a manual or?
It's actually a book. It's called Understanding the Times.
Okay.
It's a textbook on biblical worldview.
Okay. And it covers subjects that you would go through in college?
In college, yes. Yeah.
Excellent.
Theology, philosophy, ethics, biology, psychology, sociology, law, politics, economics, and history.
Sounds good.
Those are the 10 areas where students' faith is challenged the most.
Okay.
Where they don't have good answers.
All right.
So
biblical worldview, number three.
Yes, that's so biblical worldview applies to everything. Okay. Here's the fourth point, and this is part of being a mature Christian. If you're a mature person, you're involved in business, say you realize I have competitors. If I want my business to succeed, I don't succeed by trying to keep other businesses from succeeding. I succeed by winning customers and keeping them, right? So that's how I succeed. I have to figure out what are the patterns of success for my business. If you're in athletics, you got to figure out what are the patterns that lead my team to increase our chances of victory over our opponent. In ideas, it's the same thing. So just as there is a biblical worldview that applies to everything, there are counterfeit worldviews that say they have the answer to everything.
Okay.
I mean, by a counterfeit worldview, I don't mean, those people are really dumb because they believe something different. I mean, they have, be mature about it. People have thought through the ideas that rule the world. And for example, a Marxist worldview says that everything comes down to capital. The Marxist worldview says only the material or physical world exists. There's nothing outside of the physical world. There's no God, no Jesus, no Holy Spirit, no heaven, no hell, nothing. And we're all equal as humans. So if one person has anything more than anybody else, it's because they stole it. That's the Marxist view.
Right.
And Marxism has a perspective in theology, philosophy, ethics, biology, psychology, sociology, law, politics, economics, and history. You will be taught from the perspective of counterfeit worldviews at virtually every college or university in the United States. So it's up to you to figure out what you're being taught, to discern the patterns, just as you would if you're on a sports team that wants to win. Figure out what the patterns of ideas are, and then how you might respond to them as a Christian. So that's really the fourth thing. You've got to be aware of those counterfeit worldviews. Okay. And then the fifth and final thing is, and this is the one that students have the hardest time hearing, you have got to learn to welcome your time in the desert.
Wait, what? I thought it was the wilderness of Zen all the time.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah,
you could just sit on top on the mountaintop and a light breeze is blowing and you can sit there and meditate and be above everything that's in the world. God allows us to go into the desert. It might be you really don't have the Christian friends that you would like to have. You really don't have that person you feel you can pour your heart out to. It might be that you're in a class and you're really struggling with the content because it's challenging your faith and you don't know what to do. I learned this when I went to Israel about a year ago. We went out into the desert and our guide said, I need you to think differently about the desert. God does not send you away into the desert to abandon you. He invites you into the desert to be with you. God hangs out in the desert. The desert is his living room. If you look at Matthew chapter 3, the commissioning of Jesus, Matthew 3 verses 16 and 17, that Jesus was baptized, he came up out of the water, and the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And we think, oh, that's really neat. I read Matthew chapter 3, put the Bible away. Nope. The next verse, Matthew 4, verse 1, and Jesus went out into the desert.
Yeah.
So God does that because he loves us. And it also gives us opportunities. The Apostle Paul talked about those opportunities when he was in prison. In 2 Timothy, he says that, everyone has deserted me, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that I might fully preach the word and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from all evil works and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
That was his perspective. Man, everybody abandoned me, but the Lord stood with me and he opened up doors for me to preach and give the truth in a mightier way than I might have ever done if I was just hanging out with all my friends.
Okay. So to review, we've got to walk our own faith, and that's step by step. And you mentioned asking questions and writing them down. You can't leave them floating. Then we had, was it biblical worldview next?
Community is vital.
That's right. Community was next. So
you need old people.
You need old people. You need babies.
That's right.
I have to say that, you know, shameless ad. And then we had a biblical worldview, looking at things through the lens of Scripture, and you had a resource that I'll link to that in the notes. And then moving into, there will be counterfeits presented. Can you spot them? And obviously expounding on that, when you watch a movie, what's the message behind the movie? When you read a book, whatever, when you hear the news, what's the message that they're trying to give to us? And finally, the wilderness is not a place to shun. It's a place to draw near to God and grow. And that will, if you line those up, the percentages for you retaining your faith in college will be much higher than if you did not do any of those. And I would wholeheartedly concur.
Yeah. Now, Let me give you one quick thing here. I've got a little pink piece of paper here that my team gave me earlier. They said, if people listening to the podcast want their kids to go to Summit, when they signed them up, they can put in the coupon code worldview24.
Yes, sir.
And get a $200 discount.
Okay, very cool. I'll put that in the notes as well. So $200 discount, worldview24, and you get $200 off the top. So that's incredible. Last thing as we wrap it up, do you have any parenting hacks that you would be willing to share with some of our parents that are listening?
I can give you my favorite parenting hack in 1 minute.
Sweet.
Don't underestimate the value of playing dumb.
Okay. So you're asking questions when they drop something on you?
That's right. I don't understand. Huh, I heard about this in the news. Is anybody at your school talking about that? I understand everybody's listening to this song. I don't understand. Why would everybody want to listen to that song? Or why was everybody playing that video game? What do your friends say about this? Just asking questions from the standpoint of not thinking that you know everything, but just being curious. Curious but concerned is one of the most significant postures, I think, of being a parent.
Well, I really appreciate that. I hadn't thought of it in that context, but that makes perfect sense. Well, Dr. Myers, I really appreciate your time here today, and I look forward to meeting you in person. I have been at places where you were speaking live before, but there were other people there, so I never got up to say hello. But anyway, you've hit the nail on the head, exactly what I was looking for, and I know our body will be really encouraged by what you're sharing this Sunday. And I also know that you're giving away your book, the one on the big T versus little T's, for a donation. And people, I believe, can get that signed if they're here this Sunday, which is Super Bowl Sunday 2024.
Yes, right. Sounds great. Thanks, Joel. Really appreciate the time.
God bless you. Thank you, sir.